12 o'clock, you're in tune to KZSU Stanford, and it's time once again for another exciting edition of the Lunch Special.
My pulse is burning fire at night. I jump into the silky lake. You push my reaching arms away. I grab you by your neck to stay. You splash and fall and swim away. And I love you, boy. And you love.
A guitar solo by our guest today, not only a guitar player, but also a professor here at Stanford, Robert Harrison, professor of literature in the Department of French and Italian. Welcome, really, back to KZSU, because you have a show here, too.
I do indeed, Bird. Good to be on air with you again.
It's great to be on air with you. We did another show together, your show, about a whole other subject, but today you have a very unique show plan for the folks, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But briefly, just introduce yourself. I said in a department of a professor of literature in French and Italian, and that's what you teach here. You teach French and Italian literature.
I teach Italian literature is my main specialty. I also teach French literature. I chaired that department for about 7 years.
How long have you been here at Stanford?
I've been here since 87.
Wow.
My first job, came up through the ranks, and have been tempted every now and then elsewhere, but have stayed put.
You're also a PhD advisor, too. You've had assistants come through who are some of your PhD candidates, and all of the ones I met all went on to get their PhDs.
They got their PhDs, and they all have really good jobs, believe it or not.
You're not jealous, are you?
No. They would all like a job at Stanford. Even our singer, who you heard on that.
Christy. You know,
Christy Wampole, the previous production manager of Entitled Opinions, who got her PhD in June and is now at Princeton University as a beginning assistant professor in French literature.
That must make you feel good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Well, besides being a professor, you're an avid musician. That was a track off your CD, your latest one that you made just last year, with some folks here at Stanford. And you guys actually gigged on that CD. And part of the show is going to be about that. But why don't you give the folks a little feel for your musical history, how you got into it, what really spurned all that, and this whole mix.
Yeah, I'll start from the beginning and leave the album, the new album, which was almost like a resurrection of the previous passions that dominated my life and my brother's life when we were growing up in Rome, Italy, actually, our mother being Italian. And when I was 14, my brother was 13, my older sister had a boyfriend who got us some tickets to a concert by someone we had never heard of named Jimi Hendrix.
Ooh.
In Rome, Teatro Brancaccio. And we went to the afternoon session, and he blew our minds.
I'll
and
bet
then
he did.
We went to the night session. It was the only time he ever played in Rome, by the way, Jimi Hendrix. And this completely transformed our lives. It was like a conversion experience. And from that moment on, from Hendrix, we then went on listening to a bunch of other stuff in the same genre, starting with Cream and so on.
There was a lot of music was being greatly expanded at that point in time, wasn't it?
We're talking about 1968. So
powerful year on both sides of the pond.
Powerful year. Then I had already started playing guitar prior to that moment, and then we started playing much more seriously, my brother and I, he being the bass player, me playing lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
We had a band, a high school, kind of early year high school band, and then we had a much more serious band when I was a junior or senior in high school called the Sleepy Hollow, and we played a lot around Rome because we were being Americans and having long hair, and we looked like the Anglo rock band types.
Wow.
And a lot of Italians wanted us to pretend that we were flown in from London or New York, and we weren't allowed to speak Italian because they said, the New York, the Sleepy Hollow was the name of our band. And so we got actually a lot of gigs by virtue of the fact that we represented in the Italian mind, the real thing.
You guys must have been really popular with the girls then too, right?
Well, all sorts of things were happening at the same time in those years. I don't remember them that well. So,
yeah, and could you speak fluent either way? Fluent Italian and fluent English?
Our mother is Italian, and we had always gone to American schools or schools that were in which English was the main language. So our English was much more fluent, let's say, than Italian or French, which we also went to French schools for a while. But nevertheless, it was this connection, to the Anglo-Saxon, let's say, cultural genome that favored us a great deal when we had this band in Rome called the Sleepy Hollow.
Okay. Now, where did that lead you to? Because you obviously ended up. Did you go to college in the United States or in Europe?
Yeah, I had an offer to become the guitarist of a band, and I had to make a decision about whether to go to college or to go on and try to be a musician. I decided to go to college, and I got my degree in 1972. And we tried to keep the band together. It was impossible. I went on to graduate school. My brother went on to graduate school, both of us in literary studies.
Hmm.
And for a long period of time, our performing musical kind of life was over. And that got resurrected a few years ago when a young assistant professor whom I hired as chairman of the department in French and Italian, Dan Edelstein, he's probably going to come on your show, I hope, this sometime soon. He, like me, was a musician prior to becoming an academic, and we actually were co-teaching a IHUM course here for the freshmen,
mm-hmm.
Introduction to the Humanities, and for our last act in a surprise kind of performance, we called my brother up from L.A., where he teaches at UCLA, to play bass, and we took a bunch of well-known rock songs, rewrote the lyrics on the basis of the books that we had been teaching.
Oh, wow.
In the epics, we had taught Homer and Dante and other stuff, so rewrote the lyrics and had an in-class kind of surprise performance that went very well. And from there came the idea that I proposed to Dan Edelstein that why don't we, write our own original stuff on the same basis, namely all the lyrics would come from great works of literature.
Hmm.
And that's how our idea arose that we would embark on this project of doing a CD. And we found a singer right in our midst, Christy Wampole, graduate student of French and Italian. And so the result was after 2 years, we had this album, which is called Glass Wave as the band, and it all the songs have the this kind of, it's literary subtext.
Were you able to get it distributed? Did it make any noise anywhere?
Well, you know, when you're professors at Stanford and you do something that kind of brings education and rock together, mm-hmm. you get a lot of attention. In fact, we had big articles in, you know, the San Jose Mercury News,
really?
The Huffington Post,
wow.
the American Scholar. This, I think the Chronicle did something, and other venues around there, because people actually slightly misunderstanding the project, they thought we were doing it for the sake of the students, you know, to using well, it as a means to teach them literature.
That's okay. That's okay that they thought that, right?
That's okay. So,
Professor Robert Harrison is a guest today. He's from the literature Department of French and Italian. He's a professor of literature, and he made his own CD, like he just explained, with his own band, of made up of some Stanford folks and his brother from UCLA. But today, you brought in a very special, specific band that you really want to touch on and kind of bring some light on. We went and looked in the library, and they had a lot of records out back in the 60s and 70s.
Actually, the 70s. Yeah, because what my brother and I, when we started get from Hendrix, you know, we went on to the usual suspects, you know, the Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and things like that. And then we got more and more into the progressive rock, especially the British progressive rock of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking, you know, about King Crimson, Yes, yeah. Soft Machine was another big favorite of ours.
Mm-hmm.
But the most interesting band of that era in the progressive rock genre was the band that I thought I would like to devote most of the attention to today, was a band called Gentle Giant, a band very well known among progressive rock enthusiasts, insiders, never had the same kind of notoriety as some of the other bands that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But musically, I think by far the most sophisticated, ambitious, and interesting. And what appeals to me particularly, also very literary, because many of their songs do allude to works of literature, especially the French Renaissance author Rabelais. In fact, their name, Gentle Giant, comes from Rabelais' works.
Were these guys academics?
Actually, they were. One of the three brothers that were in the band was a medieval. I mean, he had a passion for the Middle Ages and medieval literature. Kerry Minier, who was the keyboardist and one of the main composer of many of the songs, was actually trained in the Royal Academy of Music in London.
Oh, wow.
But they were very learned, and they tried not to wear their learning, you know, on their sleeve too much. But it does come through, and therefore there's a certain kind of feel that looks very kind of high culture-ish for some people.
Mm.
And this led to certain kind of disasters when they were touring as the the opening act of Black Sabbath, for example. And no one went to the Black Sabbath concerts wanted to hear Gentle Giant when they brought out, you know, their violas and their fancy instruments. They were trying to boo them off the stage.
Oh,
and
wow.
So there is a way in which you actually have to go through the ambition that this band had to do something very original with rock. And in fact, I would say that this band, the Gentle Giant, is really an acquired taste. And when I say that, I'm alluding to the title of their second album called Acquiring the Taste. And let me just read to you, Bird, the statement that you look in the CD is the liner notes, but it would have been on the vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
This is their mission statement. It says, acquiring the taste is the second phase of sensory pleasure. If you've gorged yourself on our first album, then relish the finer flavors, we hope, of this one, our second offering. It is our goal to expand the frontiers of contemporary popular music at the risk of being very unpopular. We have recorded each composition with the one thought that it should be unique, adventurous, and fascinating. It has taken every shred of our combined musical and technical knowledge to achieve this. From the outset, we have abandoned all preconceived thought on blatant commercialism. Instead, we hope to give you something far more substantial and fulfilling. All you need to do is sit back and acquire the taste.
Very, very, very interesting. These guys were heady guys for the times, huh?
They were.
Should we check out some of their music?
Yeah. I thought we could start with a track on this album called Acquiring Taste called Black Cat. And I think it'll give you an example of the complexity of the music on the one hand, but also the fact that each song is a song composed as a particular unity.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a lot of progressive rocks where they'll have 20 minutes of one side and just kind of a lot of improvisation. Everything is composed. It's also about a cat, so the lyrics, you'll hear that the music in many ways is miming the sounds of a cat. In the middle of the song, there'll be a kind of change of tempo and mood where it's a cat. You have to imagine a cat kind of playing with a ball of yarn or something of that sort.
Mm.
And otherwise, it's trying to also mime the way a cat would be kind of prowling on a roof or something like that.
So these guys were deep. They were really, this was message music with a certain message in mind. Did the public get it?
A lot of us insiders got it. In Europe, there's still a very... when you say Gentle Giant, everyone in Europe who is passionate still about music knows that band, much less in the United States. They never really made it big in the United States.
I can see why, because the United States is a little different culture.
Yeah. So maybe we can start with Black Cat.
Let's do that.
And bright, the nights are dark and skies are sharp and wide awake. As she acts out her past, the jungle days when the night was her friend in many other different ways, she gave protection, gave detection by her prey.
Gentle Giant, a true pioneer from the early 70s. We're here with Professor Robert Harrison, Professor of Literature in the French and Italian departments. And speak about that song, Professor.
Well, it's a typical Gentle Giant song in the sense that you really never know what's coming next. There, it doesn't just repeat the phrases over and over.
Heavily orchestrated.
Heavily orchestrated. There are a number of musical influences that you can hear there. As mm-hmm. you were mentioning, you know, this modernist chamber music.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a kind of a chamber band. Or
there's jazz in there mm-hmm. as well. And there's a certain kind of medieval music, yeah. madrigals, and some classical influence. But not just the classical influences on a lot of rock, progressive rock music, which was mostly romantic classical music, but Renaissance music as well.
Yeah,
and this went to this came from their training, the kind of classical training that many of the band members had.
When you said one of them was heavily into medieval,
well, Phil Schulman, one of the three brothers, was very into medieval literature as well, and Carrie Minier had actually studied music at the in classical music, and he's the keyboardist and the songwriter of many of their songs. They all of them except the drummer. Were multi-instrumentalists.
Oh, wow.
And they all could sing. And they do a lot of great stuff with polyphonic voices and harmonies. And
going deep, you could tell it was heavily orchestrated out.
Yeah. So basically, we can hear one more song, you know, from Acquiring the Taste that will give you another sense of how these songs are all kind of not only orchestrated, but thought out, and that they're... There's oftentimes change of tempos, and there's what they call in, you know, musical lingo, polymeters, namely time signatures, that you have more than one time signature going on at the same time.
This had not been done in rock and roll up to this point, had it?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it had.
Not to this level of sophistication.
Right. And then after Gentle Giant, later on in the 70s, you see this kind of stuff come in from other bands, don't you?
You do. You have Yes, which mm-hmm. went on to have a pretty big career.
Yeah.
I think King Crimson was quite sophisticated, but...
Genesis
was the...
Phil
Collins, exactly.
We were trying to think of that a minute ago. Well, let's listen to this next
And this,
tune.
By the way, this is called Pantagruel's Nativity. Pantagruel being a character out of, again, this French Renaissance writer named Rabelais. Another giant, but a gentle giant.
These guys were deep, man. Here it is.
Coming over Chariton Bridge. Look, do you see the man who is poor but rich? What do you wish and where do you go? Who are you? Where are you? Where are you from? Will you tell me your name? Rest a while, call me your friend. Please stay with me, I'd like to help. Then he said, how can I speak when I'm dry?
How can I speak
when I'm dry? So bring me aid and I'll answer your doubts.
And I'll answer your dear friend in need. I'd like your help. Please take me home. I'll stay with you.
Thank you.
And for all you aficionados out there, that wasn't the exact song that the professor had gotten ready. We blame the engineer for that one, and we'll take care of him later. Okay. But go ahead and talk about that tune, Professor.
Yeah, that was actually not from Acquiring the Taste, because we had queued up two different CDs. That was from their album Octopus, the first track called The Advent of Panurge, which is actually very similar, because the other one was supposed to be Pantagruel's Nativity. Pantagruel, Panurge, Two Giants. Rabelais, same kind of subtext.
Which we will be playing next.
No, that's the one we just heard, The Advent of Panurge, on the first track of their album Octopus, which was their fourth album, I believe. And basically, what you heard there is a way you have all these different kind of threads of different musical traditions being woven into, you know, one kind of five-minute track, where you go from classical moments of traditional classical style to, it'll break into rock rhythms and into other kind of polyphonic vocals. And
another band I thought that came much later was Queen.
Yes.
Who used that same kind of thing, the rock to the classical to the jazz to the, and now it's become a staple, you know, in the rock world. Do you think that this band was a true pioneer in the sense that it was the first one doing that kind of stuff?
I think every rock band that has any sort of ambitions to be a little bit more experimental or original musically knows about Gentle Giant, especially in Europe, but also in the United States, because they are one of the, let's say, top five progressive rock bands of all time for those who are interested in that tradition. So it's almost impossible that the Queen would not know Gentle Giant very well.
Sure, probably copied their stuff. Talking to Professor Robert Harrison of Stanford, from professor of literature from the Department of French and Italian, teaches literature in that department. You've been here since 87. That's a long time. Let's move on with this this look at this wonderful band, Gentle Giants. And we do want to go back to that song you had set up previously.
Yeah, we don't have to go through the whole song, Bird, because it's six, almost 7 minutes long, but we can hear, you know, the first couple minutes, maybe, and here we go.
Oh,
checking out the music of Gentle Giant today, and we were just talking off mic. They even opened for Black Sabbath on their early tours, and I'm hearing a little Black Sabbath in there, Professor Harrison. It's amazing. I'm hearing all kind of influence. Where they influenced bands others, that came after them.
So what you heard there is a kind of eruption all of a sudden into kind of power chords a la Black Sabbath, and it looked like it was going to sound like Black Sabbath for a while, and then all of a sudden you get these this kind of choral vocals that sound kind of medievalish. In fact, Black Sabbath played on that too, you know, the little medieval, but they did it with a level of... let's say more gentle. They're a gentle band. Their music is gentle, and it's not doesn't have that violence of the Black Sabbath or the kind of harder rock music of the era.
Like a Gentle Giant.
Yeah.
You know, what the feeling I get from it is you mentioned they didn't get the public notoriety that a lot of other bands got, like a Black Sabbath. But it seems that these other bands cherry picked their stuff and took pieces, their favorite little piece. Which this is how music grows, though. Too, you'll future musicians will take pieces of other styles, put them all together, and make it their own.
And I can't tell you how many licks I have on that album of ours that are actually
from other people.
Steal from Gentle Giant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they use really interesting scales, especially on the guitar. Or at least little combinations of notes that are extremely original. And you know, yeah, I take that over and stick them into a different context. I owe a lot to them.
You're giving up some secrets.
Yes,
now,
I am.
Should we? We should carry on. Although, I wanted to ask you about your academic life and the relation to music, and how you've managed to put those two together. And Gentle Giant is definitely a big piece of this. And you heard them before you became an academic.
Oh yeah.
How does this all work together?
Well, you know, the other aspect of their music, which is highly original, is the lyrics. And the lyrics are often inspired by literature.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in a way that is much less upfront than our band did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, they have... one of their albums is called The Power and the Glory. It just so happens that that's the title of a book by Graham Greene. They have a song on acquiring the taste called The Moon is Down. That happens to be the title of a novel of Steinbeck. Not his best-known novel, but it's clearly the reference is that. Pantagruel's Nativity, we mentioned Rabelais. There's a number of troubadours, these you know, medieval poets. Mm-hmm. They have songs that are... So they were an early example to my brother and I of how literature and music, this kind of music, could be brought together and produce something quite new in the process. Now,
we do want to let folks know, too, you have a wonderful show you've been producing here for the last 5 years?
6 years.
6 years, called Entitled Opinions. You're one of the few professors on KZSU, and an amazing show, if I do say so myself. It's not always in the same time slot, but you've got it podcast.
Yeah, this is another way where I try to explore a new medium for the diffusion of ideas and literature and also music, because while most of the shows on Entitled Opinions have to do with the history of ideas and of literary works, but also science and cosmology and things of that sort, a number of the shows are devoted to music. You and I did a two-part show on the blues, right?
Well, we did part one. You still owe me part two.
Well, but we did two, and we need part three, which is the Western migration
exactly.
of the blues, right?
Yeah, and you approached me about that, and I was amazed that just at you thinking of it, and also when I got into the subject, I realized how deep it actually went.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, your music shows are amazing. You did a tribute to Hendrix, a two-hour tribute to Hendrix.
I did one on Hendrix, one on Pink Floyd. I've had some shows with Stephen Hinton, our professor from the Department of Music on classical music, one on Beethoven, one on Kurt Weill. I did a solo show on The Doors.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Well, and all these shows are up on the web, right?
They're not only on our website, but they're also on iTunes.
Oh.
And this means that we reach a completely international audience. And this is a show that takes a lot of time and effort on my part. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have let it quietly die if I had my way a few years ago, because it was really eating into my time. But the fact that I continue to get all sorts of communications and emails from people from all around the world, many of them in the so-called provinces, so grateful that they can kind of listen in on conversations among, intellectuals, professors, about ideas and so forth. And this constant expression of gratitude, tells me that I just can't stop doing it. So
it must be gratifying.
I took the summer off, and now we're going to start up in a couple of weeks. And we've had some good luck on the show. We've had a lot of big names. I know your producer is very fond of René Girard, the theorist of mimetic desire. He's been on the show. We've had Orhan Pamuk, the Nobel laureate, novelist from Turkey. And Richard Rorty, the great American philosopher before he died. He was our colleague here at Stanford as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, novelists like Shirley Hazard and critics like Marjorie Perloff. And anyway, a bunch of really interesting people. And KCSU has this special privilege where we don't have anyone telling us what we can do or can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole hour, no sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a 1 hour, one-on-one, in-depth conversation about a particular topic, author, or body of work.
And how can people find it on iTunes or on the web?
Well, yeah, you can find it on iTunes. Just
entitled opinions,
and we have a web. Web page. If you go to the Department of French and Italian at Stanford, you can click on the link there to Entitled Opinions, or you just look it up, you Google it. It's easy to find now. It's
very cool.
It pops up there right away.
And 6 years worth of shows. What are we? We're talking
about 120 hours and more of shows. And, it's scary, actually.
It's a nice record.
And in fact, I want to say hello to the Entitled Opinions audience, because I have a feeling that I'm going to kind of reframe this conversation we're having about Gentle Giant and maybe cast it as a special edition of Entitled Opinions.
Very
with your
cool.
permission, Bird.
You have my full permission. I'm honored. We're here with Professor Robert Harrison, professor of literature in the Department of French and Italian. Let's get back to some music.
Yeah.
What do you got queued up for the folks? It's got to be Gentle Giant for sure.
Yeah,
set
it
this
is.
Up.
I thought, rather than give you a smattering of all my musical tastes and so forth, just concentrate on Gentle Giant. I wish I could play every song on every one of their albums, because every one of their songs is worth listening to and pondering and analyzing. But
well, in between quarters, we have that time called the interim period, and people can sign up for elongated time slots. Maybe one day you could do a Gentle Giant special.
I think I will do that.
You should do that.
Yeah. This is a song which its title already tells you a lot about what we've been talking about here, knots.
Okay.
And because they do knot together, they weave together so many different influences and things. So this is, again, from their album, Octopus.
All in all, each man in all men, and
all men in each man,
he can see,
she can,
she can see,
she can see, whatever, whatever.
You may know what,
you may know what, I don't know,
but I don't know it,
and I can tell you, so you will.
To tell me all men,
man,
all men, all men,
man,
all men,
man,
in each man,
can
she, can she,
see,
can
she,
can
see,
she can see, whatever,
what.
You may know what
I don't know,
but I don't know,
but I don't know,
but I don't know,
so you will
have to tell me all. It hurts him to think that she is hurting her by him.
To think that
him,
she
to think
she
that
is
she
thinks
he
is
her
by making
her
feel
guilty
as
he
hurts
him.
King, she
wants
him
to
her.
He wants
her.
He wants
him want
to
him
to
get
him.
He wants
him
want to
her.
She
pretends
to
she wants
to
him
to
get
her.
She pretends.
He
hearing Queen again. I don't know. This is a Gentle Giant special with Dr. Robert Harrison here at Stanford.
Yeah, and there you go, Bird. You can hear again all these different influences and the way the genre will change, and also the time signatures will shift, and that you will have multiple time signatures, you know, or at least two or three at the same time going on. So this is part of, if you look at their own website, they'll when they describe it, it's multi-part vocal harmonies and the...
they have a website?
Frequent changes in tempo. It's actually not they who run it, but some fans run it.
Wow.
And
have they ever gotten back together since they broke up?
Three of them got back together, and they called themselves Three Friends, which is the name of their third album, Three Friends. And then one of the three left them, Carrie Minier, to do other things. And the two of them are actually go around every now and then and make performances of Gentle Giant music.
Has any of their music worked its way in? Well, you did say a lot of your guitar licks come from them. When you laid out the music for your CD with your band, did they have an influence on it?
If you listen to Glass Wave, you'll say that this is not Gentle Giant at all, but you would have to really listen closely for the kind of secret pockets of where they're present.
So in a subtle way.
In a subtle way, you would have to listen to my brother's bass playing in parts and some of my chord progressions and lead scales. So
maybe it's time for a tribute album. Robert Harrison tributes Gentle Giant.
What if we bring them here, as many as we could get to do that?
Now you're
with
talking.
The new, you know, we have the new concert hall.
That's right.
And if Stephen Hinton, I'm going to see what he thinks of this show, whether he likes Gentle Giant, and see if we can enlist him to maybe get some of these guys out here.
That would be amazing. Stanford has a wherewithal for sure. Now, let's get back to the music. What do you have queued up next for the folks?
Well, there's a album that they did. I think it's one of their best albums, called In a Glass House. So there's one or two tracks maybe we can listen to. And again, what we'll be hearing, the same sort of things, like the polyphony, these unusual chord progressions, and the breaking up and kind of revoicing the patterns of the simple chords that often open a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this, you know, amazing acceleration and deceleration of the rhythms, and then you have eruptions again of those power Black Sabbath power chord type things.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we listen to? I want to make sure that we don't run out of time before we hear.
We are a little pressed for time, so maybe we can listen to pieces of songs.
Okay, so how about this experience from Glass House?
Okay.
Innocent to life and my role in it, this will play my game, and anyone I'll clown or foil for myself. There are harmless affairs, and no one seemed to care for any meaning. My life was my own, the debt I paid it only to myself. Thank you.
right, just for the sake of time, we're going to fade this down so we can get some more Gentle Giant for you. And I think we've piqued the professor's interest so much in the audiences, because we got some phone calls. Thank you for those. That you might, at the end of this quarter, you might just have to have a Gentle Giant.
I'm all for it. I'm an apostle. I feel like I should be an apostle for this band.
Yeah, because, you're their voice. I mean, yeah. I don't hear anybody else talking about them. You should be the guy, man. To like, what do they got? 4 hours worth of music? Four or five?
More, I think.
Man, have an 18-hour.
Well, actually, their albums are short. You know, they're like 33 minutes per album. So maybe, yeah, about 4 hours.
I know we got about 8 or 9 in the library. Yeah.
So, moving along. How about one more? And this is a different kind of song. It's a different feel. It was from the same album, and it's called An Inmate's Lullaby. So it's about someone in a loony asylum. And
we on the bottom one?
We're on the top one,
okay,
actually.
Okay, perfect.
Here we go with the song that reflects the state of mind of someone who is in one of these places.
So really, folks, this has just been a teaser for the what's going to become the Gentle Giant Marathon here at KZSU. And this is something we just thought up, but Professor Harrison thinks so, too. And they got so much great music out. Somebody, when we're radio, so somebody should do it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to monitor, you know, some of the listeners and find out if this music has appeal in any broad way. Because, you know, when people like myself or my brother, we listen to this, it's like, who could resist?
Right. The other thing is, you could find out which, if they're all still alive, and get them on the phone.
They are still alive, actually.
Get them on the phone and talk to them over the air, right?
Yeah.
Have them call in and get real, you know, how they feel now about their stuff.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting show, I do believe. But, Professor Harrison, time, you know about radio time. It's like dog years. It goes by real fast.
I know.
And this hour has been eaten up, and we're about at the end of it. I do want to thank you first for your time. Thank you so much.
Bert.
You got to be really busy. And Entitled Opinions is coming up, your show, in this next quarter. We don't know exactly what day or time. People can look on the schedule and find out, though.
Right. I'm going to apply for a time slot, and I don't know which times.
Yeah, yet, you never know. But
it's going to air once a week for the next 10 weeks in the fall quarter.
Very cool.
And probably go on hiatus in the winter because I'm very busy in the winter.
If folks want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, they can email me at harrison@stanford.edu. That's easy enough.
Okay.
Or they can email the Entitled Opinions, and if they listen to some shows and leave some guest comments on the website, that would be great.
Very cool. We post this show up onto Radio 4ALL, the number 4ALL. And it'll be up there for everybody to see, everybody to hear and download if you want. And also, if you do end up taking this show and making it Entitled Opinions, they can get this also on there on your website as well, right?
Right, for sure.
That's great. Now, your CD is, your band is called Glass Wave. And I guess the band title is also the title of the CD too, right?
That's right.
And this is one you came out with your brother and your former PhD candidate Christy Wampaugh and
singer and colleague Dan Edelstein.
Yeah, and which we need to get on this show. We'll talk about Blue after. We'll talk to Blue about that afterwards. But you're going to play. We're going to go out with one song off your CD, Glass Wave, and set this up because it kind of connects to that last song we just played.
Well, look, it's almost suicidal to play one of your songs after Gentle Giant.
You mean like if you had to follow him in concert?
But it goes to show you the extent to which I'm not embarrassed about RC, at least not super. But the song that we just heard about the lullaby of the inmate in an insane asylum, we have one song on the album that is the one I've kind of heard the least, so the one I'm least sick of. And it's a song about Freud, Dr. Freud. And it's an unusual song because we tried to create effects that create a certain dissonance between the conscious, let's say, the surface level and what's going on under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is with some different effects. Some of it is in the music itself. So we can give a listen to that to end the show with.
It's on the bottom one, right?
Yeah.
Here it is, folks.
Freud, I know your joy. I can hear the baby in your cry. You call it love, but what it loves is death. That ancient taste of gin on your mother's breath. Come with me now, we're going down, we're going down, coming back around. Let's take this road down in your soul. The secrets its caverns hold. Hear the dragon roar, get a load of your ear. There's the lion mother with her kid. Come with me now. Come on, let's go. Come with me now. Let's go through the door.
Reich ist ein Stück um Wach, ein Stück Seil.